Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The last Sunday, we examined what John calls the witnesses to our faith. He mentioned three in particular: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And as far as John is concerned, those witnesses form a part of the basis of our assurance. In chapter 5, verse 13, John writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." I believe John is talking about our assurance here. But the fact is, every so often, we do entertain doubts. Is there really a God? Is Jesus really his Son? Did he really do what the Bible says he did? After all, it's been 2,000 years. How do we know all of this really happened? We're confronted with challenges to our faith all the time. And that's nothing new. John's readers faced the same challenges in the first century. They faced the Judaizers, the Gnostics, and the Docetists. And we face similar types of attacks in our days. As we've seen, these groups were making an organized attack on the Christian faith. And John has been refuting their teaching one by one throughout this letter. Having done that, he's writing here to assure us that we can know that we have eternal life, even in the face of organized attacks. He also wants us to understand that we need not let them challenge our faith. We have the witness of the Spirit. We have the witness of the water. We have the witness of the blood of Christ. And these three witnesses agree. And he's telling us that if we as Christians know and understand what those witnesses mean, as we saw last week, our faith will be able to stand up to the attack of any enemy. He's saying you can have assurance of faith. But John, however, does not mean to say that these three are the only witnesses to our faith. There are many others, and one of them is part of the service we participated in today. So I'm going to depart from 1 John to make a few observations about what we did here this morning. You all know baptism is one of my favorite services. I love children, and I love nothing more than welcoming them into the church and into the kingdom of God. But the service of baptism, and baptism itself, is a witness to our faith. Last week we spoke of the witness of the water, and I mentioned that the water John was referring to was the water by which Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, who really should be called the prophet. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, it marked the end of the Old Testament era and the beginning of the new. And it marked the beginning of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. John's baptism was not Christian baptism. It could not be, because Jesus had not yet been crucified and had not yet risen from the grave. John's baptism, as it was mentioned even in our service of baptism this morning, was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Christian baptism is something entirely different. Christian baptism requires a risen Savior. Christian baptism is a witness to us of our faith in Christ. It's a sign, God's sign, telling us that we belong to Him through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, God had given circumcision to His people as a sign that they belonged to Him. In the New, He replaces circumcision with baptism as a sign that we belong to Him through the new covenant of grace in Christ's blood. As the Lord's Supper replaces Passover, so baptism replaces circumcision as a sign to us that we belong to God. The water of baptism, which I placed on Paul's forehead this morning, will disappear from his head. But there will ever remain a mark visible to God that says, this is one of his children. Knowing that we have been baptized, knowing that we have been identified with Christ, is one of the witnesses that assures us of our faith. Martin Luther once commented that when his faith was slipping and he was tempted to doubt, he would remind himself over and over again that he had been baptized. Baptism did not save him, but it did witness to him that he belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luther understood that his baptism was not just his profession. Yes, it meant he had proclaimed his belief in Christ, but it was also far more, for it was also a sign to him of God's faithfulness. Baptism is not a tool that we use to save ourselves or others. Rather, it is a witness to the faithfulness of God. Our articles of religion call it an instrument, and you can find these in the back of the prayer book. But it calls baptism an instrument, and it says, whereby they that receive baptism rightly are grafted into the church. The promises of the forgiveness of sin, and notice it says promises of the forgiveness of our sin, and our adoption to be sons of God by the Holy Ghost are visibly signed and sealed. Faith is confirmed and grace increased by virtue of prayer unto God. Now, there's too much there to unpack this morning or in 10 Sunday mornings. But suffice it to say that the word instrument does not mean a tool or a mechanical device. Rather, baptism is more like a title or a deed that conveys privileges and responsibilities. Paul's baptism this morning is a promise that he will have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will also have access to the witness of God's people as together we pray for him and show him the love of Christ. But it is also a promise made on his behalf that he will grow to profess Christ as Lord and Savior, which brings us to the other critical witness to faith and baptism. The one given by Paul's parents. So Lynn and Austin, pay attention, because you have here today promised to raise him to be a Christian, to know all that he needs to know for his soul's health. Some of those things you will need to teach him. Some he'll learn in church and Sunday school. But the most important witness you can provide is the one you live. You live it by your faith in God. You live it by your love for him. You live it by your love for one another. There's no greater witness to the truth of Christ than the lives of godly parents. Your faith, your witness to him must not just be on Sunday morning. The worship and being a part of the church are critical, they're essential. But it must be every minute of every day. You've made promises for him, as many of us have also made for our children. And those promises are only as good as the example we set. So we need to order our lives according to those promises. You see, God's true to his promise, but we must be true to ours. So the challenge before us this morning is to live in such a way that our lives will be a witness to the salvation that is ours through faith in Christ, and a witness to others that there's something better in this world than what the world has to offer. And that is what God has intended for us from the very beginning, that we be his children by grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I ask this day that you bless each and every one here present, that we be given the grace to know Jesus Christ, our Lord, by faith. I pray in particular for Paul and for his parents, that they would be enabled to lead him to your throne of grace, and that he would never know a day when he did not say, "I am a Christian." Bless us each and every one, we pray this day, Father, that we may know the love of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the gift of eternal life, and the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. For this we pray in his holy name. Amen.